The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Fremont Avenue here in South Pasadena is not famous for its chicken farmers. I'm not exactly a chicken farmer myself, but I come from an almost farming background. If you were to do an experiment and take 10 chickens and put them in a pen together, and then put in a little bit of feed, in a very short time, you will witness an amazing phenomenon. In a matter of moments, the chickens, previously strangers to each other, will, via will vie for a hierarchy based on dominance. Or, in other words, they will create a pecking order. Instinctively, they will determine through a series of skirmishes who is the number one chicken, and in turn who is the number two and number three, all the way down to number 10. In this dance of domination, number one chicken can eat all that it wants and can treat all the other chickens as it pleases without any retribution. The tenth chicken has quite a miserable life. We can see similar displays of dominance now every afternoon on TV. There is something in the human condition that drives us to be self-indulgent. We have a desire to maybe be the center of attention, to be number one. Thankfully, everyday life, and most often our friends, have ways of bringing us back down to earth. I'm reminded of the story of the now veteran television star and actor Tom Selleck, who told a story against himself. He said that some years ago, while working in Honolulu, he was walking down a street as he met a couple coming towards him. They were an elderly couple, and as they approached him, they had a camera in their hand. They asked him if they could have a picture. But when he struck a pose for them, the elderly man said, "No, no, we want you to take a picture of us." They had no idea he was a famous actor, you see. His fame and ego took a bit of a blow. Having listened to tonight's gospel, which is very familiar to us, we can easily imagine the disciples 2,000 years ago. We can imagine them arriving one by one, trudging along the dusty streets to celebrate the Passover with Jesus. They entered the house and waited for the Lord. If the excitement of Palm Sunday was anything to go on, they were expecting that something really important was about to take place. Maybe they should plan ahead, perhaps begin deciding who and where is the pecking order. Who is going to be the greatest in this new kingdom that Jesus spoke about bringing? What position might they hold in this new cabinet? Who would have the greatest power and influence? The discussions that happened between them obviously prevented them doing what was normal when groups gathered and were welcomed into a building, which was the foot cleansing. And because of the roads being dusty and dirty and the disciples wearing sandals, we can be sure that they arrived with feet that needed washing. On this particular night, there was no lowly servant assigned to foot washing. Perhaps dazed by the reality of the new kingdom that was to be brought about, and each one of them potentially being a key figure, they weren't going to lower themselves and start washing their own feet. This way of thinking or of our attitude, this thought pattern, is in stark contrast to the actions and thoughts of Jesus when he joins them. If you have followed our live streaming masses over the last week, you will have seen and witnessed this scene taking place over the last few days. Jesus entered Jerusalem last Sunday to a cheering and adoring crowd. On Tuesday, Jesus told his disciples he would be betrayed. Yesterday, we heard of Judas taking the 30 pieces of silver for Jesus' life. Tonight, Jesus celebrates a Passover meal with his disciples and with us. In this meal, Jesus leaves the greatest gift he had to offer. This final meal before his crucifixion became memorialized forever. The bread and wine he took, blessed, broke, and shared has continued to be taken, blessed, broken, and shared ever since. But how could the Master impress on the disciples who had gathered around him what he really wanted of them? If they were expecting fame and power, how could he get across to them what the kingdom of God was really about? Sometimes Holy Thursday is known as Maundy Thursday, which comes from the Latin word mandatum, meaning commandment. Tonight, Jesus not only gives a new commandment to his disciples to love one another as he has loved them, but he will also show them how to live that commandment. St. John tells us in the Gospel that while the meal was still in progress, Jesus stands up, took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. This, quite obviously, was the last thing his disciples were expecting. Jean Wilkes, in his book, Jesus on Leadership, writes these very meaningful words. Jesus did not come to gain a place of power. He did not come to defeat his human enemies. He did not come to overthrow an unjust government. Jesus came to show us the heart of God. His entire message and ministry on earth were to show selfish, power-hungry people like you and me what love looks like. As he knelt before Judas, Jesus showed us a love that no human can achieve on his own, a love that is brutally honest about what is going on, and yet Jesus still kneels before us to lay down his life so that we could be free of our sins too. Jesus loves you and me as he loved Judas. If you miss that, perhaps you have missed the importance of the Triduum. There are many fine examples of those who truly got Jesus' message. We could read about the life of an Armenian girl called Agnes, who at the age of 18 became a nun. And after 17 years in a cloistered convent, she left the convent with the habit she was wearing and 3 spare saris. She went out into the street to serve the least and the lowliness. She had to beg for money to support her work. She said her goal was to be a pencil in God's hand. She devoted her life to the sick, to the dispossessed. She cleaned infected wounds, lovingly washing and providing basic care for those close to death. We know Sister Agnes today as Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Some time ago, a teacher asked her class what Jesus meant when he asked us to love one another. A 4-year-old girl gave this answer. She said, "When my grandma got arthritis, she couldn't bend over anymore to paint her toenails. So grandpa does it for her now, even though he has arthritis in his hands." I think that's what love is. Over the last few months, washing has taken a whole new significance. Washing not feet, but our hands, doing it frequently and keeping our distance. Our celebration of the sacred Triduum will be very different this year. And yet, while we might be sad that we cannot be here physically to wash each other's feet and to share Holy Communion, we cannot but acknowledge and be thankful for the washing of feet that is happening throughout our community at this very moment. Right now, our parents, our children, our neighbors, or our friends may have washed or be washing our feet. They may not have used a basin and towel, but maybe they did some shopping for us, phoned us to see were we okay. Perhaps they served us well by staying away because they had a cough or some symptoms. But we must also honor the countless strangers who wash our feet in the city. They get up each day to go to work in essential services, from hospitals to shops to transport to utilities. They do so without counting the cost. Indeed, some have paid the price. They live tonight's gospel. On this Monday or Holy Thursday, we may grieve the fact that we cannot physically gather here in Holy Family Church. This season of Lent and this Easter Triduum will be remembered and recounted, I'm sure, for many, many years to come. This night, we thank God for all that we do have, for the gift of the Eucharist, which will endure beyond these difficult times and be here for us when we can join again together, physically present. We thank also to God for the good example shown to us by Jesus and given expression in South Pasadena in so many and varied ways, the washing of feet. Lord, bless our sacred days. Keep us safe. May your passion, death, and resurrection give us new life and strengthen our hope. May the Lord bless and guide our steps.